Mic check, big check. What's the deal, ladies and gentlemen? It's your man, TG, the host, and this is the People's Choice Podcast. Thank you for joining me. Thank you, the people, for joining, you know, some of y'all's favorite podcasts. You know, I am highly notoriously inconsistent with the releases and the drops, and I just thank y'all for bearing with me thus far and appreciating my life outside of TG the host and understanding what comes with the balance of this shit. But also, I need y'all to hold me accountable, man. If I named this the People's Choice for a reason. Hit me on the socials and let me know y'all need a new episode. Today let me first shout out to Blurred Vision, blurredvision.us. It's Black History Month, it's Black owned, it's a Detroit native, it's my fellow Spartan, it's my dog. So go shop blurredvision.us. When you check out, use my discount code TG10, get a little baby discount. Shout out More Entertainment, you know, home team. Casper Management Group, also the home team. We got a lot of things coming up as usual. It's a new year. You know, everybody's got the same 2020 vision and all this extra shit, but we coming. Stuff is changing. I think that's it. Who my early shout outs. I'm TG the host everywhere. You know that already though, because you're listening. But also make sure you follow on the podcast page. It's TPC, the People's Choice. TPC Pod on Twitter and the People's Choice Podcast fully on the gram. And I think, you know, that's it for the big business shout outs that I kind of obligated to shout out for various reasons. But other than that, it's Michigan. We got winter time finally. We got snow. I had a dog ass pothole a couple weeks ago, and I had a flat tire on impact, just smack, and it was in one of them tough spots right on a ramp off of the highway. So it was like I couldn't dodge it, because you don't see it until you don't see it, you in that mug. So it was tough. I was luckily able to run a light and make my way to Discount Tire and get my shit replaced and reloaded. But it was my daughter was shook, because this was like one after them. My car was covered in ice, so when I cracked the pothole, all the ice on the top of the whip slid off the back window. So my daughter was shook in the car, and I was shook. I'm like, what else is about to slide off this motherfucker? So I rolled on off the ramp, you know what I'm saying, busted right, hit the discount. You know, you just got to thank God for, you know, I guess, timing and placement, because had it been my cars on the road, I'd have missed that light. I'd have been on the side of the road with both my babies in a whip. It's just, you know, Michigan is rough, so y'all got to pay attention to the roads, man. It's, you know, we be driving, and this is like we playing a video game at the arcade because of how much we got to duck and dodge these big-ass holes. But we make it work. We've been here long enough, and somehow every year we are still taken aback, taken by surprise, and we act like we don't know what's coming every year. Sometimes we don't. This global warming shit is really fucking with Michigan. It's really throwing our mentals off, right? It's we had like some 50-degree days in the middle of a snowstorm, and it's super random, super sporadic. I saw a news station say for every time we're wrong about the weather, they donate to a charity. I don't know. But either way, now I want to watch that news channel to see if they're right or wrong about the weather. I'm not even, to be honest, Lord forgive me, pressed about whether or not they're giving that money to whatever organization they're going to give it to. I'm just like, this promotional tactic was kind of clever. But because of the times, I've never been a big news watcher. I will weather app myself to the grave. But now I was like, fam, shit's so crazy out here, man. Between these cold fronts, warm fronts, hurricanes, earthquakes. Like, you hop on Twitter randomly and all your LA friends is like, damn, I slept through the earthquake. We can't sleep through shit over here. You walk outside and you got 3 feet of snow, man. The good thing is I got a son that's super energetic, super hyper, loves to do any and everything. So he started to shovel the snow. My six-year-old is shoveling the snow. And he's at the age where he gets up, and when he sees the snow, he wants to go out there and shovel the snow. So we're going to milk that until he all of a sudden hates shoveling the snow, man. So, you know, that's a blessing. There's more time for me to be in the warmth. I got bad bones. He still got young, healthy, growing bones. So the cold don't crack his joints like the cold cracks mine. Like, I got bad bones and I'm skinny. So when that cold air hits me, like, my shit is automatically trembling. And he not like that, right? He's shorter than me. He got a lower center of gravity. He's lower to the ground. So when he's bending over shoveling, his knees are pretty much covered. And wind may or may not be really getting to his joints the way they get to mine as soon as I walk out the front door. So pray for the skinny niggas in this winter. And ladies too, niggas is a gender neutral term. Pray for the people who, you know, we can't afford the long ankle length coats that zip from the top and the bottom, so you can walk and go upstairs and sit down and stuff. Some of us just got coats where our butts are showing. Our grandmas would not be proud of those, but it just is what it is. But you know, especially particularly the skinny people, the cold hurts. It hit a little different when you skinny out there. So you know, my condolences, my prayers, my sympathy goes out to my fellow skinniers, skinnians. But we make it work. We make it happen. We wear long johns. We bringing them back. That was not a thing I was really trying to wear as a child. It was just extra. Like, it was too. Again, when you young and when you small and when you short, everything is closer together. It's easier to stay warm. And once you get older and your body starts to stretch. Now, I ain't the tallest nigga in the world, but I'm tall enough. You know, the pants are a little more fitted. The socks are a little thinner. You know, the drawers is coming a little tighter now. You just more exposed now. The winter is crazy. You go out there and I gotta jog in place before I walk out the front door in the wintertime, just to get my muscles flowing, just to work up a little sweat so I can kind of preserve some heat and energy before I walk from my door to the car. And then I get to the car, and then you gotta wait for that to warm up. And then you in the car, and by the time you get to work, your car is smoking and you sweating and shit. And you roll the window down and you balance it out, and you get out the car, you got a long walk from the car to the job, and then you back cold, and then you get to work. And nobody's job is like comfortable temperature of warm, so you be back in that bitch cold. But we make it work, man. It's the things we got to do in this country, man. I promise you, I only go to work because I have bills. If I did not have any bills, honestly, I go to work to have kids. I probably wouldn't even, if I had no kids but bills, a job would still be like a negotiable for me. I wouldn't even necessarily be hooked on making sure I was employed if all I had was bills and no children. Even if I had a girl, like if it was just me and Lex and no kids, it was just like she would look at me and I'd be like, hey, you know, just it's America, baby. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm damned if I do, I'm damned if I don't. So it's just how you want to play this. I am who I am. You take me as I am. I may or may not work at any given time because it's only me and you, right? I can thrive off of peanut butter jelly for dinner, right? You like ramen noodles. We can make this work. But then you start having kids and shit changes, man. You gotta reroute your thinking. You gotta prioritize the priorities. And you know, just everything about life hits different when you start to reproduce and actually decide to take care of the reproductions. Nevertheless, before I get to really what I want to talk about, I seen the news about the, Jackson State president getting caught in the prostitution sting. I just want to start this off by saying niggas are wild. Yeah, Jackson State niggas are wild. This is not the first time we've seen a president or a person in high authority at these HBCUs getting ramped up in prostitution on whatever level of prostitution they get caught up in. Man, my man was he got hit in the sting at a little hotel, little motel, got popped. You know, got a couple more charges, lying about his identity, a little simple possession of marijuana. So it's just, you know, my man is he was one of 17, according to CNN. 17 people in a 2-day prostitution sting at a hotel in Clinton. Posted a little $3,000 bond, nothing something light. But you know, he ain't got nothing to say. They reached him. He ain't reach out back. He don't want to talk to y'all. He's embarrassed. He's president of HBCU. And we're at a time where a lot of people, even the ones who didn't go to HBCUs, we're taking a lot of pride in these institutions and what they do for the community and how they give young black people something to look forward to, a way to feel accepted, a way to feel like they belong somewhere, something to aspire for and go get. And then here we have the people who we supposed to be looking up to getting caught in silly shit like this, man. Like, we gotta learn. Niggas be like mad horny. Niggas be super, super horny, and it's crazy. And you just wonder, like, what else is going on in your life? You know, there are a million strip clubs. There are a million women. There are plenty of online dating sites. There are so many more legal and respectable ways to have sex than to get popped in the prostitution sting, right? Like, when that Kansas State fight happened that we talked about last episode, a couple group chats, one of my homies said, niggas hate the future, right? And what he meant was, you know, you're in a position to really have a prosperous future and really make a difference in not only your life, but the lives of other people who are close to you, a positive difference and influence. And yet you put yourself in these positions, in these scenarios, in these situations, in these moments to literally shit all of that away. And here you are, a black man and president at this HBCU, and you put yourself in a room at a time in a place where shit like this is getting popped all over the country. Sex trafficking, human trafficking, prostitutes, they getting popped all over the country. Big stories, little stories, big cities, small cities, blue collar people, white collar, black, brown, women, children. Like, this is not like a secret thing. There's no more dark web. Niggas know what's going on. And yet, you can't even think about tomorrow. I don't know if this man is married. I don't know if this man has kids, nieces and nephews. I don't know who his will is going to when the Lord come get my man. But you got to think about the future, Doc. Niggas hate the future. And now we going to ride with that theme for a little bit, because it's so much silly shit happening. Like, how do you not think about what's going on? And that's what I mean when I say, you know, before it was had a little joke undertone to it, but I have a future. Like, I got to be here for my kids and my grandkids. So I can't be putting myself in places and times and for the thrill of the moment, because that thrill is very short lived, right? Wrong place, wrong time. A lot of motherfuckers put themselves in the wrong place at the wrong time. A lot of times it's not circumstance. It's not, oh shit. Most times niggas know who they around. And let me flip it. A lot of times niggas don't know who they around, but what they do know is that they don't know everything they need to know about who they're around. And then boom, the door's getting kicked in. Whether it's by somebody baby mama, somebody ex-boyfriend, a nigga they got beef with, the feds. Like, now you in a position looking stupid and you trying to flash all the credentials, but fam, none of that matters right now, because you've put yourself in a moment and a place for the thrill of an experience that was always going to be a short-lived thrill and experience. Speaking of thrills and experiences, man, I seen a story. I ain't trying to get too preachy up in here. I have been working on my Sunday morning skits and sermons and stuff, because, you know, anybody who's been in church for enough time can preach, whether they know how to actually put the content and make it make sense. But if you've been around, you know we can do it. But I seen a story about he ran from prison, came to New York, started a whole new life, became love, and his wife had no idea about his history, about his past at all. I'm about to pull the link up. Shout out to the Bryant family for being able to have a very private laying to rest of Kobe and Gigi. I was very happy to see that they got that handled without media and paparazzi being tipped off either before or during. So I appreciate that. I was happy to see that. But dog, I want to find this link, man. I don't know when I sent it. Selects, but y'all seen the story, man. It was floating around crazy last week, and he lived a whole life. He had kids. The kids never knew about his former life. He had a job. He came in. Somebody helped him get a fake social security number. Then he ended up getting an ID with that social security number. Somebody up there knew he didn't have all the proper identification and proof of identity. They still got him that. It was crazy, but he ended up living a full life. And the boys came and kicked in the door and they got him. And they asked him what his name is. He said, such and such love. And they said, no, it's a real name. And he whispers a real name. And they told my man, you've had a long run. And they got him about the paint, man. So it was crazy. And I think it's crazy because, you know, I asked my wife, like, damn, what if that was us? And she's like, shit, I don't know. Like, I wouldn't just be not knowing. Like, if you're not answering questions, that's a red flag to me. Like, I would have to let the kids weigh in. And it's just like, all the kids know is that man. So they don't have anything. Nobody had anything to say about his new life. He's, you know, just a little smart dog. I can't find the link and I'm upset. But, you know, you come across that and it sounds familiar, make sure you check into that. For sure. Very, very crazy story. Interesting story. I think he's back home now. He did end up going to court, and his wife ended up getting, like, she wrote letters to Obama, she wrote letters to a lot of powerful people to help my man get back home because he was old by the time they came and got him. So it was just no need to really keep him in there because he hadn't did anything. I think he had to go serve a little time back where he was from. All he would tell his wife was that he was from the South, right? He never told her anything about his history, about his criminal history, about him being in prison. They met because they were working at a church, I believe, or some kind of what's today's date? Little non-profit. But it was crazy. It was crazy. If I find a link before we get out of here, I will definitely run it back for y'all. But we got to get into Twitter trolls, man. I think at this point, internet trolls in general. Internet trolls in general, man. We got to get to... we got to figure out a way to weed these niggas out of here, dog. These trolls are... You know, like, it's cool when they just trolling, like, jokingly, innocently about stuff. And... that's fine, but when it comes to like personal, serious, religious things that people really hold near and dear to their heart, I think we got to draw a line. And I don't think it's fair that the person who is being trolled or people who don't think that and I'm using this term lightly, a victim of trolling should be the victim of trolling or the trollee. I don't think it's fair that we have to come in and play police for somebody and it's like, fam, chill. But it's to the point where, like, niggas are asking for addresses and really pulling up on mugs. Like, the internet is cool. Like, I go to Twitter strictly for news on particular topics and mostly jokes and to get some promo off. That's it. Like, I get a lot of my news from Twitter. As we know, Twitter is very up to date, very right now type of stuff. And it's crazy how to heart people take Twitter, how personal people take Twitter. It's crazy how much people internalize and project and just be loud and aggressive and obnoxious about shit that has absolutely nothing to do with them. Nothing. People get on Twitter and will project how they feel about random shit and try to make other people feel bad for disagreeing, right? Like, I say something, and I know Twitter, like, you put something on Twitter, you're very subject to whatever happens next, right? There are some people who get on there just to say some table-shaking shit and then put, you know what, I'm muted this, y'all do what y'all do. Nah, don't run from it. Like, address it, because you put this out there. That's like me coming to you face-to-face, bringing my problem, and when you want to say something back, it's like, you know what, nah, I'm not talking about this no more. You don't get to bring me something, and then when I'm ready to respond, you know, intelligently, respectfully, you try to dismiss it. We about to have some dialogue now. But there are those, there's, you know, it's like, it's levels of trolls. We got to break down the levels of internet trolls. Like, there's a spectrum. There are people who start the fire and dip. There are people who douse the fire and fuel the fire and stay to watch or dip. And then there are people who will literally just make sure that everything around that fire catches fire. Anybody who tries to come put it out, they stop them from putting it out. They might damn near set that person on fire. And I think that level of trolling, we got to kill that. There are some things where we talking about, like, life changing, just complete trajectory altering situations, man. People's livelihood, people's careers, people's mental health and well-being, people's physical and emotional health and well-being, right? We all know that the internet is one of the most crucial, brutal, critical places you can ever be. See what happened with Gayle King getting death threats. Not that I'm necessarily feeling sorry that she's getting death threats, because the game is the game. Professional athletes get death threats when they lose a game, you know. Politicians get death threats left and right. Celebrities, musicians, singers, they get death threats left and right. So, you know, you take the good with the bad, right? But, and most of y'all know the situation she brought up, asking Lisa Leslie in the interview. I'm not tapping into that, because like I said, they were laid to rest. So let's let that go. The Gayle situation, at least. But I think we need to figure out a way to, like, tell people to shut the fuck up. Like, and every now and then you will catch somebody with a very intelligent response where it's like, fam, I respect your opinion. I hear what you're saying. but this is not that, right? Or I'm not about to go back and forth with you in particular, because I have already witnessed and observed how you get down on this here timeline about anything, and I just don't have the energy for that. I don't have the time to give to gift certain people. Like, some people just do not deserve a response. And sometimes it's not the people, sometimes that is that woman. Sometimes rebuttals and responses and statements just don't deserve anything in return. Sometimes you just gotta let people say shit out in the open and just sound stupid on their own. The whole timeline sees it. Trust me. You hitting somebody group chat because a lot of people just refuse to engage in particular traffic online. It's just like, I don't follow Shade Room. I refuse to follow Shade Room. I refuse to fall into that black hole of comments. I refuse to allow that foolishness to be what I look for and what I look to get whatever. I refuse to deal with and follow and look to and for TMZ, right? Because they thrive on shit. Like it's just, they throw stuff out there for people to maintain, to contribute to already unnecessary bullshit. Celebrities, personal, whatever, just topics, just silly shit, right? And I'm not Umar with it, but it is a lot of stuff where it's like, fam, as a community, black people, we dealing with enough shit. The last thing we need is you, of all platforms, to further amplify this situation, this topic, this conversation, this question, this meme, this whatever. There are some things that I will not talk about on this podcast because I refuse to fuel certain fires. Right? I just heard Whoopi say on is it Shop Talk to Shop, LeBron's HBO thing? Her and I forget my man name, I think he's Indian, the comedian. And they was talking about how in 2020, as a comedian, it's not that you can't say certain shit. It's just that when you say certain shit, you just got to be able to deal with what's coming after. You got to be able to be good enough in your craft to say some shit. And this it stuck with me and it will stick with me. You got to be good enough in your skill and in your craft to say some otherwise controversial shit and be so good that the crowd loves you before and after you said it. Right? There are some shit that comedians just cannot and will not touch anymore. But you look at a nigga like Dave Chappelle, he's pretty much Teflon at this point. Comedy or not, on his own stage, on somebody else's stage, as a guest, interviewing somebody, like, he can say it because he's so good in his skill set, he's so good at his art form and his craft, that he can get shit off that another comedian could never get off. Chris Rock is another one. He can get shit off and receive almost no backlash. No backfire, because they have mastered their delivery, their form, their content style, right? And I think as media platforms, which in reality, this is essentially a media platform, give or take, we have to learn to master our individual forms of delivery to where I can get on here and talk about some shit and say some shit and not feel like one little segment will get negatively blown out of proportion. But again, that's also why I just don't say. Some shit just is not for me to talk about. I don't have enough experience, expertise to even get on here and give you 45 seconds of monologue about it. So I wouldn't even do that. But nobody else, let me not say nobody else. Everybody else does not take those same precautions. And they get into a point where it's hurting them for a period of time. And I'm one of those people who say, there's no such thing as bad publicity. I think it's relative. I think it's who's looking, where they're looking from, and essentially how much money is involved, right? Incoming or outgoing. And I say that to say companies, corporations, individuals, celebrities, people, police, departments, blah, blah, blah. How much money am I making or losing from this particular publicity? And I think that's what comes down to people saying there's no such thing as bad publicity, because at the end of the day, if I got in trouble, if I'm in a hot seat, or I'm getting smoked for some quote unquote bad shit, but in order to figure out, there's always somebody who doesn't know who you are. So there's somebody who's keeps seeing this viral clip of TG saying this about this, but everybody don't know who TG is. So now they got to click my shit. They got to play my shit. I'm getting a stream. I'm getting a viewer. I'm getting a follower. I'm getting a clicker. They sharing in today's circle who also doesn't know who I am, but people around them are also talking about and sharing and reposting and listening to this clip, this segment, this show, this response, this picture, this video, whatever. So somebody in my camp is saying, hey, you get new fans, you get new followers, you get new viewers, the streams are going up, the income is coming in. So this isn't really bad. But then there's somebody else saying, you in a court of public opinion, they're killing you, they're crucifying you, you're losing fans, right? Your dignity is at stake, your integrity is at stake. Your children got to grow up and deal with this. The internet is going anywhere. Your kids can go to school at any point. Somebody who got a problem with them can pull up some shit that their daddy did. Out of hatred, jealousy, argument, fight, whatever. Curiosity, whatever. Oh, you TG son. Your daddy blah, blah, blah. He did this back in this. And again, niggas hate the future. This episode, this is coming together nicely. I hopped in a very conversational bag today. I didn't expect this to happen this way. But there's a spectrum of trolling, and I think we need to have a conversation about when that stops. Cause shit gets like, I report tweets, I report Instagram posts, I report comments. Cause some shit just shouldn't be allowed to be said on these particular platforms. And I think that there's a level of consequence and ramifications that should follow particular things said within certain contexts. And of course, context is very, very, very key. And that matters 99% of the time. But we got to deal with that. We got to figure out a way to deal with that. And again, I'm not about to get on here and be internet police. I get on Twitter for jokes, but I mute a lot of niggas. I block a lot of niggas. I unfollow a lot of, and this is gender neutral. Like, I'm not about to keep opening my phone and seeing like you just being loud and wrong and doing stupid shit. And I think that's my piece on that. I want to get into, also, before we get out of here, I want to get into the toxic friend. And I'm going to start this, and then when I bring this back, I'm going to have somebody here to talk about it with me. And it may or may not be one of y'all's toxic friend. But the toxic friend is easily most hated by every nigga's girl. And I'm going to speak from a nigga's perspective, because obviously, easily most hated. But it takes a while for the toxic friend to become the hated one, because in somebody's main circle, that friend has normally hidden their traits and characteristics, right? And it's not until the nigga gets caught up. Now, as a nigga, bro, we've all at some point of our life blamed some shit on one of the homies. Homie, brother, cousin. Every time. Some of us have a go-to scapegoat homie. Like, there is one homie in the group that everybody blames for everything. I'm late picking you up. I didn't answer the phone. Ran out of gas. Phone was dead. Spent too much money. Such and such was in the room. In the picture. Too close. Seeing y'all on somebody's story. And it's one friend. And that one friend that the niggas blame normally does not have a girl. Maybe has one kid. Right? But it's generally known to be free, loose, just living a life. Not just reckless and irresponsible, but they don't really have to report to anybody. So it's easy to be like, oh, I was with such and such, you know how that is, you know how you go. And we kind of hope that sticks long enough to bring the energy of the room and the situation down. But we're going to get into toxic friends, and I like opening this can of worms because y'all know I'm washed. So it's that juxtaposition of a washed nigga and a toxic friend on the same episode giving their views about shit. We're going to get it popping. Also, BAM season is coming up. If you know, you know. New washed mayor may not be on the way. I'm making people laugh now, so if you see that I'm doing comedy, pull up, fuck with your boy. TGTheHost.com, TGTheHost on all the socials. Again, blurvision.us, TD10, when you check out, more entertainment, Casper Management. I appreciate y'all, as usual, for rocking with your boy. Again, DJs, producers, I need beats, I need beds, I need 10 to 15 mixes, 10 to 15 minute mixes. Send all submissions to tgthehost@gmail.com. Shout out to Anchor for having me. We up out of here. Y'all be good.
Hey, man, I gotta split now. I gotta go catch this little trick. But why don't you come out of pad a little bit later, you know? Be like you never left. Hold it, please.
Later, baby. I mean, go do what you gotta do. You know, go ahead.